Hey, Grace.
Yeah, David?
Do you want to go back?
Back where?
Back to the best.
Back to the best?
Back to the best.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Back to the Best. I'm David.
And I'm Grace, and this is our podcast where we talk about all the best things from the 90s to the 2000s, which is also known as the best times.
To all our first-time listeners, welcome, and all our former besties returning.
Welcome back. How is everyone doing? You know, I have a little bit of a thorn in my side after this week.
I've been planning that all morning.
I was going to squeeze thorn into this. You guys, my dog had a thorn in her foot, and David and I have been racking our brains all day as to how in the world this thorn got in her foot, but she's got to wear a cone and it's just a whole thing. So, and that was on a Monday. That happened on Monday. So the week didn't start great, but what a way to start the week, you know?
Not a great way. No.
No, David and I are pretty sure she's been sneaking out to meet with a fella. Just definitely one of those moments where you really wish dogs could talk.
To waste the financials that you could have done yourself.
I mean, it was worth it because it was a little bit infected, so she did need medicine. And it's all totally fine. You know, it's an investment in your health, right?
Because here at Back to the Best, an investment is your... I messed up. It's hot, you guys. Here at Back to the Best, an investment in your health is an investment in your future.
In your future. Let's go back to that. It is so hot.
I'm sweating.
It is so hot. David and I live in Los Angeles. It is, my watch says 91 degrees right now.
Yeah, why am I wearing two shirts? I'm stripping.
You should. We also, in the valley, in the San Fernando Valley, it is like an oven. And when it is like the heat just gets trapped in here and you just can't, you feel like you can't even breathe. It's just hot air hitting you left and right.
And front and back.
Every single direction.
Every direction, up, down,
side to side. You're just hot.
Like, have you guys ever used an oven? It's like we're sitting in it while it's on.
Yes, that is true. My mom was telling me, I'm from the East Coast. And my mom said it's supposed to be 103 tomorrow, but they also have humidity, which I wouldn't trade this for that ever. I lived in humidity for too many years. I don't want to do it ever again. But anyway, did your week start off better than the thorn in mine?
Did my week start off better? What started my week?
Or how was your weekend? Did anything fun?
Oh, I saw Elvis.
What did you think?
Loved it.
How incredible. I mean, really, was everybody in it? But Austin Butler.
Honestly, why did him and Vanessa Hudgens break up?
I know. I thought I read, they seem to not have really given a reason from what, because I looked it up after seeing him in that movie. But I think they said their lives were just in two different places.
Okay, well, whatever.
I know, but that movie was so good.
That was really the main thing I did this weekend.
It was really hard to do anything, but we went down to Malibu this weekend because we just, like David and I said, it's an oven. It's an oven where we live. And we just had to get out. Like on Saturday, my dad and my husband play on a flag football team. And I went to watch. I even had a big, beautiful umbrella.
She did. If you guys are not following Grace, go open up your Instagrams right now and go to @GraceCIsaacs, although it's not on your story anymore.
I'll put it back up.
Just follow her.
I mean, it was a giant. My dad goes, I have a beach umbrella in the trunk if you want it. And I was like, I'm on it. And I didn't want to put it in the ground because when they play, I'm really into it. I like to go up and down the sideline. I got to know what's going on. So I just marched around with my giant umbrella.
As you should.
It kept me cool though.
Stunning. No sunburn will be had by you.
None. None sunburns.
No.
I was not, especially not the scalp burn. Those are the worst. Was there anything newsworthy? I mean, there's one thing that we know because it's what we're basing this episode on.
I'm not going to say what we're about to talk about for this news. I'm just going to let it speak for itself.
Okay.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight and show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, cause I need to know now, because my loneliness is killing me. And I must confess, I still believe when I'm not with you, I lose my mind in the fucking side.
I mean, we live for her, you know, morning, afternoon, and night. We always live for Britney. She sounded so different in that, though.
Well, that's what they are saying, that like that she's been forced to sing in this like fake baby voice her whole career, and that's her real singing voice. I loved the headline after. So Britney posted that on Instagram, if you're, you know, not following her. And the headline of some article just said, like, this is a pop emergency. Britney Spears is singing again.
I thought it sounded good. I did too.
I also feel like we're not going to get anything until we get the book.
We really need the book. Yeah, there was a lot of headlines talking about her. People were saying it's like a new version of Baby One More Time because it really doesn't sound anything like it.
Well, and that's what she was saying in like the caption. It was all about how she like begged her team to let her be able to sing a different version of Baby One More Time. They never let her. So now she's doing it on her own.
That is so sad. I hate that for her, but I'm glad that she did it. It was like a more mature, you know, she was
much deeper voice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine if she put out an album where she just re-recorded all of her songs?
Britney's version.
That's what it would be called. Britney's version, and she could just sing them however she wanted. What would people think of that? Because they're so, those songs are so, like, everybody knows them and everybody loves them. People would still love it, but would they prefer the original? I don't know.
I think that she could release anything right now and the whole world will buy it to support her.
Oh my God, that's 100% true. Everyone will buy it and support her. Oh, another thing. Chemicals React by Ali and AJ celebrated its anniversary.
They're re-releasing it, right? They're like doing a different version of it.
I think so. Yeah.
How they did Potential Breakup Song. Where do you think they're going to throw the F word in? Because I feel like that's like their thing now.
Oh, they have to. They're mature. They can do whatever they want.
The Chemicals
F-ing React. Oh, wait. Quickly back to Britney. You shared that you got a Funko Pop.
There is a Walmart exclusive. Everyone run, do not walk, to your local Walmart where they have an exclusive Funko Pop of the Britney Spears Oops, I Did It Again album. So it has the picture of the album behind her, then little Funko Britney.
It's really cute.
Also, while you're running over to Walmart, they also had two Legally Blonde Funko Pops. One where she's holding Bruiser, and I can't remember what the other one was, but I only got the Bruiser one.
Were they both from the original, or was one from Legally Blonde 2? Both the original?
Both original.
Mm-hmm. I also just got this
other Funko Pop. I've owned way too many Funko Pops, but it was Amazon Prime Day.
Oh yeah, Amazon Prime Day. So this is what you got. Okay, let's see it.
And it's Harry Potter looking into the mirror with Dumbledore standing behind him.
Oh my God. I've never seen a Funko Pop set like that.
I think it's called Funko Moment is what it's called.
Now, do you take them? No one ever takes them out of the box, right? You keep them in their boxes.
I take them out.
You take them out. No, I think that's fine. Now that I think about it. Oh,
because I have this castle is a Funko, but I like didn't want to just leave it in a box.
Yeah. I guess I know people that do leave them in the box because they like kind of stack really well. And if you have like a high up shelf, they can be displayed in a really cool way. And maybe like remember when they got those cases for Beanie Babies, you would like stick them in that clear case.
I always feel like the people who keep them in the box are the type of people who think that they're going to be like worth a lot more money later on and want to just sell it later.
That's very true. And you know what? Maybe they will be. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. We don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows.
And one other thing that we did share to our story, Ashley Tisdale has a product line that she's launching at Target. And she posted an Instagram reel to promote it. And it was like she was lip singing to herself as Sharpay. Going down the line. And oh my God, it's like, you could tell that these girls, like, really, I think, do just like work for her. Cause the two at the end, like, look like they're not really sure if they want to participate in this. But I thought it was
anything Sharpay related. This is not what I planned.
It's her product line.
And I just gotta say,
it looks great. Her brand, her product line it's being. And then I think that is Frenshe, Frenshe. It says, meet your everyday wellness rituals. I feel like we're going to love this.
Yeah, I'm going order it now.
Guys, maybe we will go to Target and check this out and make a TikTok and let you know what we think.
Oh, we should. Oh, a spa night? We'll go get all the spa things and do it and then watch High School Musical.
Oh my God, that sounds great. It will just have a party. And speaking of parties, usually when it's your birthday, you have a party. And that's, I really think
valid.
And I think that these people probably just had a party because they just celebrated their birthday.
Oh my God. Who's up first? Who's partying first?
First on the list, a funny, funny guy. You know him. You love him. I don't know anyone that doesn't love him. He's hysterical. It's Will Ferrell. What is your favorite Will Ferrell movie?
I was just going to ask you that.
I love Step Brothers.
I love Talladega Nights. Obviously, mm-hmm. Elf is just like a holiday classic. Old school. It's hard.
I know. He's got not to mention just his.
Oh, the other guys.
Oh, yeah. And then just all of his characters on SNL are incredible. Mm-hmm. He probably had a banger of a birthday party. Next on the list, David Hasselhoff. Now, when I hear David Hasselhoff, I always think, wasn't he in that episode of SpongeBob? Or was he in the movie? He was in the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
Oh, that is right.
Remember the scene where he's like doing the Baywatch run?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he was in why? Like, I don't even think Baywatch. I would think like, oh, SpongeBob. That's what comes to mind with David Hasselhoff. Anyway, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, David.
David. Oh, next on the list. What a gem. I truly love her so much. Kristen Bell.
Oh, I love her so much.
I think her and Dax are like traveling around Europe right now. Have you seen their Instagrams?
Good for them. I haven't.
Oh, and she did post something because there's officially going to be a Frozen 3.
Is it official?
She says it is happening with zero authority.
Oh. Like,
on Jimmy Fallon, she pretty much confirmed it, but... Why the heck wouldn't they?
I would be shocked if they won it. Yeah. It's going to make them so much money.
Yeah. Next on the list. He's no longer with us, unfortunately, but it's always worth a mention. It's Robin Williams. Love Robin Williams. This is Doubtfire. It's like my favorite movie ever. And I think we talk about this whenever we bring him up, but I was on tour when I found out that he passed away and all the tour guides were just like freaking out. No one could believe it. And like, it was just weird. Like, you don't know him, but he's such a figure that you feel like
everyone, you feel like you do. Him. Yeah.
And last on the list, a queen, Selena Gomez, also a good friend of Britney. Selena and Britney are close. Who would have thought?
Yeah, that she was at the wedding.
I was shocked. Well, happy birthday to all of you. We hope you had a big old birthday party.
And we're about to have a nice little party of our own here at Back to the Best, because this week, one of our favorite movies of all time, you might be thinking, wait, this title makes it look like it's a Halloween episode. Mm-hmm. And you're right.
You're right. It does. It does. We're not going to lie.
Because one of our favorite movies of all time, Hocus Pocus, celebrated its 29th anniversary. Yes, it was originally a July release.
Mm-hmm. It shocks me every time I realize that, because
every year, whenever I see people share that it's an anniversary, I always think that they're wrong.
But we had the pleasure in the pandemic. I'm pretty sure this is one of our pandemic.
This was in April of 2021.
But we had the pleasure of sitting down and chatting with Jason Marsden, who voices Binks in Hocus Pocus.
Thackeray.
Guys, Thackeray, my goodness. He also is Max Goof from a Goofy movie. So you will hear some references to that in here as well. But we thought we would do a best of Back to the Best because that was one of our favorite interviews that we've ever done. And listen, if Hocus Pocus is going to come out in July, then we're allowed to have a little bit of Halloween in July.
Yeah. Everyone light your pumpkins and watch Hocus Pocus.
We had so much fun talking to Jason Marsden, and I think let's just get to it. Let's give them the interview.
With the best of Back to the Best, here he is, Jason Marsden.
David and Grace.
How's it going?
Good. How y'all doing?
Good.
We're good. I'm going to apologize for the fact that I'm very dark. We just moved and I don't have a, I don't know where anything is. I don't know where
room.
The lights are. Yeah, apparently. I need to find things, you know, we're still settling in.
It's all good. It's not, is this a video podcast? Or just
it's
audio?
Just an audio podcast.
It's just audio. Right. I just, you guys are lit so perfectly.
I was just doing an audition anyway, and I usually have a light in a background anyway. I usually have something more fun than this, but yeah. I figured this is audio. So,
do you change it out for like different auditions? Do you have different backgrounds?
No, for auditions, they just want it white. They want it nothing, just nothing. Blank, because, you know, directors have no imagination whatsoever.
Yeah.
You got to have no distractions. You see, it went viral. This poor kid who was doing an audition and the director was on Zoom being like, oh, I don't know. Look at that drabby apartment there. I can't, you know, and the kid's like, yeah, please hire me. So I can get out of this apartment.
Oh,
like, you asshole. You know,
honestly,
I mean, like the poor kid is acting his ass off and you're focused on his apartment.
Yeah.
Gosh.
I know that was horrible. I love that there's so many people got behind him though. And they were, someone commented, I think it was like Emmy Rossum, and she recognized the director's voice and she had a bad experience with him too.
Good. Love it. It is too
call
much,
him out.
There's so much pretension in my industry. I mean, there always has been, but I've never subscribed to that. Or I try not to anyway. I don't know. I might be with this. Who knows? No one's told me, but I feel bad for especially for young actors these days that really are hungry for it. And they're like, well, you got to go buy this equipment and you got to go do this and you got to subscribe to this. And then you got to, you know, add this subscription here. And it's like these poor kids are, you know, they're barely making ends meet probably. And then having to provide all this, like where does the acting come out? Is anyone focusing on the performance at all? You know,
seriously.
Right. I know the fact that the director was focusing on what was behind him. It's like, that doesn't matter. You're not casting his TV. Yeah, you're looking at him.
And it's like, we're on a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Be forgiving. Gosh.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us. We had the best time going through and honestly, a tough time trying to choose what to ask you about because you have done so much amazing stuff.
Like literally, we were
bring
going
it on.
Like, we got to do this. We got to come.
We promise not to take up your entire day though.
No, you're good. You're good. I love it.
So take us back. You obviously started acting at a super young age. Was this always something that you wanted to do?
I mean, as a kid, I was, you know, I watched a lot of TV and I was always enamored by what I watched on TV. And I definitely wanted to do that. I, you know, the idea was in my mind. I used to watch the show called You Can't Do That on Television. You ever hear about that one?
I've
heard
of
it.
Oh, you guys. Oh, yeah. I'm so old.
No.
You're a couple of cubs here. Well, in my day, when Nickelodeon first started, they had a handful of shows. There's a show from Canada called You Can't Do That on Television. And it was a variety show. And it was a little bit like Laughing. It was a little bit like Monty Python. And it was all like sketches featuring all these kids. And they were fun and they were funny. And that's where actually the slime comes from on Nickelodeon. When every time in the show, every time when the actors said, I don't know, they would get slimed. Or if they said water, they'd get water dumped on their heads. And I'm like, I want to do that. I want to do a show like that and say, I don't know, and get green slime on me. That sounds like fun. Oh, but I have to talk like this. I have to say a boot and sorry. Thinking that's how kids talk. I didn't know they were from Canada. It was an idea. I mean, I was only 10, you know, when we moved to California, 10 or 11. And the idea was presented to my parents as something that they should try. Get their son into acting. And I just went along with it. I was like, sure, sounds like a great idea.
Well, that worked. Well,
I was going to say, thank God it worked out.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Well, we are both such huge fans of Hocus Pocus. So we're going to start there.
All right, do it.
Just tell us anything. What was the experience like working on such an iconic movie?
Tell us anything. Well, we just want to get in your brain. With the editing. No, I am. what do you want to know specifically?
Well, let's start off. How was the audition for it?
The audition was, it was rather simple. It's funny because I read for Max Dennison that Omri Katz ended up booking, which I heard actually was offered to some unknown named Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, never heard of him.
Really a no name. Yeah,
no idea who that is.
But I had read for Max, didn't book it, which is fine. And then I was working, I think it was Boy Meets World. I was working on the Disney lot and they were shooting Hocus Pocus next door. And I knew Omri from a show we did together in the early 90s called Erie, Indiana. So I would go over and visit him. I knew Vanessa Shaw because we had mutual friends. Mm. So I was on the set, like hanging out, watching them film. And then after the film, like principal photography was done, after most of it was animated and cut together, that's when I auditioned for it. And I think I went to my agency, read for it there in their studio. And then I got a call back and I read for Kenny Ortega. And then next thing I know, I was back in the studio, back on the lot again.
Where did it film?
They filmed a little bit in Salem. They did a little bit.
They did. Location, okay.
But most of it was on the Disney studio lot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That the witch set, the exterior and the interior of the house. Mm-hmm. I was there on that set. And I mean, leaves, trees everywhere. I mean, it looked amazing. The scene where Sarah, although it wasn't her, I think it was the double, when Sarah is running towards the house after kidnapping Emily.
Yeah.
And her cape kind of flows across the camera. Like I was on set for that, just completely blown away. But you know, movie mad. I've always been fascinated about my industry in that respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause we love just also looking up locations. So mm-hmm. of course you can go to Max's house.
Yes.
Cause that's a real one. But I really want to go to the actual sets and you can't.
There's a whole tour, I think. Isn't there a tour in Salem?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. We have to go on it.
They've definitely cashed in on that for sure.
Oh yeah.
Especially because I feel like, go ahead.
Where are you guys located?
I'm in Studio City and she's in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, LA people.
Yeah. LA. We're those LA people.
Excellent. Excellent. I live in Nashville now, but I used to live in Studio. When I started to get busier in acting, when I first moved to California, we lived in Anaheim. And then when I got busier, we moved to Studio City, an apartment on Acama Avenue, Acama Street. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Right near CBS Studios, right?
Yep.
Yeah, just right down the street.
Mm-hmm. So you ever go to I'm going to forget it now. That coffee cafe, that coffee house on
Aroma.
Aroma, yes.
Yep. Sure did. Aroma.
You knew it right away.
It's so good.
My friend Jay Demopoulos goes there all the time. He's a writer. He worked on a lot of Nickelodeon stuff, but I always bump into him over there. You always see somebody.
I was going to say, it's definitely a spot to see people.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. Wait, so when you were on set seeing that, you weren't cast yet?
I was not, no.
That's so crazy.
No,
so
Sean was initially hired to play Human Thackeray and do the voice. And then, you know, as you know, things change all the time when you make movies. I mean, look at the Snyder Cut, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. things change even well after the fact. And someone decided they wanted Binks to have a different voice. So they did a casting and then I booked it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Were you surprised at, because when Hocus Pocus first came out, it was not as popular as it is now.
No, it was a Halloween movie that came out in July of 94, 95.
And a lot of people didn't like it at first.
Did they not? I mean, I never heard any backlash, or maybe not to my face anyway.
Yeah, I know. But I think like box office maybe, but I remember at first, and we were reading about it too, I think back in Halloween. Yeah. And I think people were kind of like, what is this? Because it's very unique.
Yeah.
Were you surprised to see how beloved it is, especially today?
Of course. I'm astounded. You know, as an actor, you work, you're like, you know, we're not contract players. We're grunts for hire. You know, we're like plumbers. We come, you show up at someone's house, you fix the problem, and then you leave. You have no idea the impact that you're going to make. You have no idea what the entity is going to turn into after the fact. And never in my many years would I have guessed that it's turned into like necessary viewing for people October or throughout the year. Some people, you know, because Halloween is so ingrained in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now that it's just sitting there on Disney Plus, ready to watch anytime.
Yes, it's all the time. It's Halloween every day on Disney Plus.
So since they had filmed the movie before you started, then was it just kind of you in your own room recording the lines for Thackeray?
Yeah. I was at the main sound ADR stage on the Disney lot, same place where I did a Goofy movie and where they do most of the recordings. It was just me and Kenny for a few sessions. And then I'm ashamed. I cannot remember the name of the animation director who was in charge of Banks. But it was me and him. Cause he was, that was the first time they had, used that CG technology to lip sync over a real animal and fuse it like that. And he was I remember him being very meticulous to the lip flap. There were takes. I'm like, oh, I nailed that. He's like, no, the syllable was like a half a frame off over here.
Oh my God.
So it was.
Yeah. When I came on, Binks was already like about 80% animated already. So
wow.
They had animated Deshaun's performance. So I had to go with those rhythms instead of my own. So that was the tricky part.
I bet that was hard.
Is
it different than for like, let's say like Max Goof, where you're kind of not having to match specifically what is already done?
Yeah, it's very different. You know, Max was, it was just me and Bill Farmer, voice of Goofy, my dad. the two of us in the same studio, working off each other and playing and taking our time. But when you're doing ADR, I mean, you're stuck with what's on screen. And I had to fit my performance into what was there.
Yeah.
So sometimes it meant truncating a moment in order just to fit it in, but you know,
yeah,
wow,
that's why they hire us, man. We're able to adapt, you know.
So how did you find that specific voice for Max Goof? So like when you go into a voiceover audition, like do you come in with your own idea of what it might sound like, or do they suggest what they, or is it kind of a collaboration in that way?
It's definitely a collaboration. I mean, I always look towards, you know, what I mean. Especially when you're auditioning, you want to please them. You want to please the producer. It's like, how can I help you realize this character? Here's my idea of it. What do you think? No? Yes? Okay. Let's go from there. I knew about Goof Troop. I knew about Goofy and Max. So I knew who Max was. It was explained to me that Max in this iteration was a little bit older. So, instead of like Dana Hill, the amazing late great Dana Hill. Oh, hi, puppy.
Oh, Cora.
That's Cora. She loves the podcast.
There's a little puppy in the background and I'm all distracted. And look,
I'm so sorry. She senses the attention. Yeah, she loves it. Whenever we're doing anything, she'll either bark a few times. She loves the podcast. Or maybe it's you, Jason. Maybe she knows that you're here. I think it's you.
She's a sweetie. How old is she?
She's three.
She's three? Oh my gosh. Sorry, I got distracted. Hi, puppy.
Say hi. Say hi. Camera shy. She doesn't want to look right in the camera.
Maybe I said something wrong in her language.
She's so offended.
She's like, how dare he? Who is that man?
There was one Marking interview. She usually barks for at least a quarter of the interview. So.
She's like very into it. She wants to be heard.
She'll make her appearance soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Forgive me. I was distracted by cute puppy. What was
That's
I talking
okay.
about?
That's okay.
How you found the voice for Max?
How I found the voice for Max. So they told me that Max was a little bit older, about 13, 14 years old. So I knew to use my own voice. My voice sounds kind of youthful anyway. That's my niche. And then I knew, you know, 13, 14, Max is probably going through puberty. So there'll be maybe a little voice crack here and there. And I just kind of threw that in there. And that's how Max sort of evolved.
Oh, does it ever Max hurt is so
your,
cool.
Does it ever hurt your throat or your voice after take of anything like that?
No, Max is, it's my natural placement. So, yeah. You know, it's different than doing video games where you're yelling everything and everything is either in the throat or in the diaphragm. You try to keep in the diaphragm. That's the little trick of the trade. You want to yell from in the chest, not so much in the throat. But no, it's maybe emotionally exhausted depending on the scene, but it's never been vocally stressful for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Were you a big Disney fan growing up?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. When we moved to California, again, we moved to Anaheim. We were just like 20 minute drive from Disneyland. My friends that I had made who lived across the street, their dad worked at Disneyland. So they were like, hey, do you want to take a day off of school one day and come with us to Disneyland? I asked my parents, they said yes. And I was hooked. It was so much fun. And I'm looking at around my living room right now. I have stuff that I still have had since I was that age. So, you know, getting cast playing Goofy's son. I mean, like how much closer can you get?
That's huge.
The major three, the fantastic trio, you know, Mickey, Donald, Goofy, you know, being Goofy's son. I guess Mickey and Donald are technically like my uncles.
I was going to say, yeah. You're literally in the family.
Exactly.
Well, we're also a huge fan of some of the sitcoms that you were on.
Right on.
How was it? We love Full House.
Yes.
What was that experience like?
Oh man, Full House was so much fun. I'd known Candace since we were kids.
Oh really?
You know, they were also shooting on the same lot as Step by Step. So I mean, on the Warner Brothers lot. So I would see everyone all the time, and I knew the producers. And man, I can't remember if I auditioned for that or they just gave it to me. I think they gave it to me, which is rare and lovely. But they welcomed me like I was there since day one. I mean, they were so cool. Aww. And Bob Saget like made a point to invite me anytime they went to dinner or went off lot somewhere. He made a point to include me, which he did not have to do.
Aww.
And it was fun. The first one of the perks is like, you know, sitcoms are mostly like on a studio lot, but the first episode I did, we went on location to San Francisco. So that was a treat because like my acting coach says, it's like, you know, getting in, you know, going on a trip with a rich uncle, you know, you're going on someone else's dime and going to San Francisco, which I loved, and being off of a studio lot for change was lovely, but it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it.
We both were tour guides at Warner Brothers and loved going by showing people. Cause whenever they started Fuller House, they built like a replica of the Full House house. So we'd
really?
And everybody would get out,
it's
take
still,
pictures.
It's still there. Yeah.
It's still really? There. They took down like, it was a building from ER. They basically just
looked like
the house.
All right. Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
How fun.
I was really hoping for you to make an appearance in Fuller House.
Ugh. Well, it wasn't for lack of trying. They tried.
Oh, did they?
Oh, did they?
Yeah. They tried. And I got invited to Dragon Con.
How about
which, if you don't know, a Dragon Con.
I was gonna say,
is,
tell us about big, that.
It's a big friggin' party in Atlanta. It's a big pop culture convention, and an invite is not easy to attain for someone like myself. So when I got the invitation, I'm like, oh my gosh, I really want to go. And then Fuller House happened, and I'm like, my gosh, I'd like to do this, but I live in Nashville, so I would have had to have gone to LA, and I would have missed a couple of days of Dragon Con, and I don't know if I was wasn't sure if I had to like, get myself there or not. Ultimately, like I was like, look, I'm in my 40s. I'm looking for something easy. It's much easier just to drive 3 hours, you know, to Atlanta, and have everything in my car than having to fly to LA, fly back. So I ended up my buddy Alex came out to Nashville with me. We drove up. We had a great time. I met my girlfriend there. I mean,
this all happened.
Clearly meant to be.
It was clearly meant to be. And you know what? And Hal Sparks deserves a little recognition. He needed the work, I'm sure. There you go.
Dragon Con needed to come first. It just comes first. Okay.
I'm telling you. Have you guys ever been?
No.
I'm not. Do you like the pop culture conventions? You go down to like
San Diego Comic-Con? I've done the San Diego one through work a couple times. It's so crazy.
Dragon Con is like San Diego Comic-Con, but a lot less pretentious.
Okay.
Like, it's all about the party. It's all about the party. It's about the cosplay. It's about the fun that's in it's concentrated in downtown Atlanta, just like in San Diego. And it's a blast. It's a blast. I love it. You guys should definitely check it out.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, there she is.
He was like, I'm going right now. No, wait, we don't know if it's going to happen or not.
She's already there. She's booked a flight. She's going.
She's got her cosplay on. She's ready.
I'm so sorry.
You're right.
So then we are also huge fans of Boy Meets World. Yay! And I have to ask, so your name in the show is your name.
Yeah. Yes.
How did that
Jason
come
Marsden
to be?
Playing Jason Marsden.
Was that like a huge honor?
It was. That role was written for me by the producers. I worked with Michael Jacobs on another show called Almost Home. And they were aware of me. I read for Eric that Will Friedle much deservedly booked. And they wanted a friend for him. So they wanted me to do it. I wasn't available at first. But then it just sort of happened. I came in very last minute. I'm like, usually, you know, you start on a Monday, you do the audience taping by Friday. I came in on Friday. I came in early in the morning, go over my blocking, worked with Will. We hit it off like instantly. And then they brought me back for a number of episodes. And when Mr. Feeney has to refer to me, and Mr. Feeney only refers to the students by their last names, one of the writers asked if they could say Marsden. They think it would be kind of funny. I was like, I think that'd be kind of funny. So he calls me Mr. Marsden.
Oh God, I cannot believe you know Mr. Feeney.
I right.
That is so great.
Knight Rider, Kit the car to me, Knight Rider.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I'm so jealous.
The fact that he is, what, 94 now and still doing like conventions and everything.
Yeah. Don't I understand. Yeah, yeah. I love it. I love it.
Well, he's always going to be Mr. Feeney. And I love that he owns that.
Yes, he is. Indeed.
So then what was it like being on Step by Step then? Because that was the longest sitcom you were a part of, right?
Yes. Because if you look at my career under a microscope, you'll notice every show that I join seems to get canceled. Except I think Boy Meets World got me out of there quick. Step by Step, that again, like they welcomed me like I was already part of the cast. I mean, I came in on season 5 and they were wonderful, wonderful to me. They took me to Disney World with them. I did the Disney World trip and that was a blast. I learned a lot during that whole situation and I'm very grateful for that. That whole scenario there. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
We had Lynn Paolo, who was the costume designer from Step by Step on, and she made it sound like it was just the best environment.
She had such positive things to say about it.
Everyone was so like, it really spoiled me, that show. Cause afterwards when I would work on other shows after that, like it just wasn't the same. Like I remember I did a thing on Will and Grace and I did, I just didn't enjoy that experience. Coming right off of Step by Step where everyone is nurturing and wonderful and let you try things. Like Will and Grace was very like no one said hello to me in the morning. It was all business. Mm-hmm. And I didn't feel comfortable. And I was like why? That dynamic was just a little bit different. And I was very confused by that. Again, it's like, why? I mean, what are we doing? Are we curing cancer? Yeah. No, we're telling jokes, you know, trying to.
Yeah.
And I don't think Step by Step took itself that seriously, or maybe the fact that Step by Step had been on that long by the time I joined, but everyone was, it was a true love fest. We had, remember Patrick Duffy, he's a big wine connoisseur.
Oh yeah.
He and Suzanne catered a lunch for us in the middle of the week. It was like a Christmas gift. And Patrick brought in like some like really fine wine. And this is like middle of the week during rehearsal, lunchtime, and we all got tanked. And I didn't really drink that much at the time. So it didn't take a lot for me to get hammered. And I remember Christine like had to do an errand off the line. I'm like, can I go with you? Like I just need some sort of distraction. Just
get away.
Yeah. I need some air. I need to get out of here. Back
and we did the run through and we were all just, you know, doing our best. And we sat down for notes afterwards. The producers were like, well, at least we know Jason overacts when he's drunk.
Oh no.
Trying to overcompensate for you know, trying to hide the fact that I was loaded, but it was,
yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Cause then you're like, I have to do my job, but this just happened and there's so much going on in your mind.
Yes. But it was, I mean, no one got in trouble. It was so much fun. I miss that environment tremendously. Yeah.
Oh.
Now, since you've obviously kind of done everything, movie, voiceover, TV show, do you have a favorite type of thing to work on?
No, man, I just like to act. I mean, like, it's definitely different, you know, like voiceover, I can show up in my PJs if I want.
That's true.
TV, you know, you're there, you're working with, you know, people and we have to move around, wear costumes, maybe, you know, makeup or travel to exotic places. When it comes down to it, it's just, I just love to perform, you know,
yeah.
I'll perform in any medium.
Do you have a favorite project that you've worked on so far?
Man, it's like picking your favorite child. I can't pick just one. Luckily, I only have
such
one
great
child,
stuff.
So that's easy to make. but there's so many different, you know, like, you know, I loved working on Boy Meets World because I loved it. Really solidified a friendship with me and Will that we still have to this day. There's a cartoon I worked on called Transformers Rescue Bots. And I loved working on that show because, A, I was a big Transformers nut as a kid. And not that I didn't get along with everyone I worked with, but on this particular show, like everyone got along so hard, like the cast, the crew, mm-hmm. we share a text thread to this day. I think I just looked at my phone and I got a message from that thread. We went to dinners afterwards. Like we really consider ourselves a family. And that is that reason, like that project, you know,
stands out.
Yeah. Stands out above the crowd. Even if you're going to shout out loud, you know? Yeah. Nice segue. That's one of my favorite projects because bam, it's still a thing. It's still a, like people love it so much. There's so many different reasons, you know, can't single out just one.
Oh, I mean, we were looking through your work and we're like, oh my God. There's so many great things.
I don't know if you can even say anything, but is there any hope of you making an appearance in Hocus Pocus 2?
I could tell you, honestly, I have no idea. No one's called me. No one has said anything. I would be surprised, kind of, because I don't see how they could, bring
him back. Oh God,
that brings back. And honestly, I mean, I'd be flattered and all, but I mean, the gals that's the hook for me. Like if I want to see another movie, I just want to see more of them. Really. I mean, if they asked me to do it, absolutely. I would love to do it, but no one's called Marsden.
Yeah.
I have not gotten that email yet.
Cause it is confirmed, right? That they did confirm that they're making a second one officially.
I mean, I'm only reading what you're reading. And that's
why I always wonder.
According to Deadline Hollywood last year, I mean, they have greenlit the project. It's being written or it has been written. I have no idea if it's under the camera or what's going on at the moment.
Yeah. Well, this is the time for reboots. So
I'm really
sure
it is.
Yeah. We'll see. I hope it has the same magic that the first one had, you know?
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
So do you have anything else that you're working on right now or that's going to be coming out?
I have, you know, it's all NDA stuff that I can't talk about. I did a let's see if I could say this without getting in trouble. I did a like straight to like a VOD animated DC movie.
Okay.
One of those.
Okay.
I did a couple of video games. And I'm producing a show called The Mars Variety Show. And that's currently on YouTube, or you can go to themarsvarietyshow.com. And it's like inspired by the classic variety shows of the 60s and 70s. And I'm like the Dean Martin, I host it. And it's designed to showcase the independent musician and comedian here in Nashville and beyond, but mostly for me to show off like the amazing talent that's here in Nashville. So I'm doing that. I'm going to do a third season probably this summer. I'm waiting for vaccines to be saturated so I get people together. The first two seasons are like selfie performances, but this time I want to do it right. I want to do it in a studio and do it right.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That sounds great. We'll definitely leave a link to that so that our
please.
Listeners can check it out. That sounds amazing.
Please, please make sure you subscribe, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. You know how it goes.
The kids know. They know how it goes.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys. Let me know when you drop this, and I'll share all the things.
Thank you so much, Jason. It's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, now that you're all in the spooky mood, the spooky season in July, it's confusing because, like, there's Christmas in July. Mm-hmm. And now because of Hocus Pocus, there's Halloween in July.
Mm-hmm.
A lot happening in July. It's also still summer.
Oh, God knows it is. It's hot. Why not?
But now that you're in the spooky season, I highly recommend opening up Disney Plus and watching Hocus Pocus tonight.
Oh, I could watch it anytime. But I'm one of those people, though. I'll put on Home Alone 2 anytime, any place, anywhere. Like, I don't really get bothered by that. So,
same.
If you needed permission from anyone, we're giving you permission. Go watch Hocus Pocus.
You have our blessing. You have the blessing of Gravid.
Yes. Yes. And you know what? You're celebrating an anniversary. So don't let anyone tell you it's weird that you're watching it. Again, we didn't ask for it to be put out in July, but it was.
We didn't. We just roll with it, you know?
We just roll with it. But we hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. We do sometimes like to do these best of Back to the Best because sometimes there's new people here who might not have known that we interviewed someone or had an episode that was based on a certain topic. So we're always going to be here to share it with you. But if you guys don't already follow Jason Marsden, make sure you do. On Instagram, it's his handle is just his name. It's at Jason Marsden. It's JasonMarsden. But I think he just goes by Mars because that's the name that he has. But he also has, he has a link tree linked in his bio. So on there, you can just kind of check out everything that he has going on. He has a link to his TikTok, his YouTube page, some upcoming appearances that he'll have. But we absolutely loved talking with him. He was so great and
so nice.
Maybe we'll have him on again because we had a lot of fun talking to him.
Hopefully. And if you want a little bit more Hocus Pocus content, we did just share a reel from whenever we went to the Hellmouth convention of the actors who played Ice and Jay. So that is on our Instagram at BTTB Podcast. We'd love it if you gave us a follow there. Also, our Twitter is at BTTB Podcast. Our Facebook and TikTok is at Back to the Best. And our website is www.bttbpodcast.com.
Yes. Go check us out. Give us a little review if you're feeling like it. We love 5 stars. It's our favorite number of stars, just coincidentally
love
enough.
It.
It's just our favorite number. It. Love it so much. And we love you. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being our friend. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
So tune in to that great episode where we are going to keep taking you
back to the best. Bye.
Oh, you're so-
He didn't see it coming, girl, because it is still July.
I should have seen it coming.
I love me a spooky goodbye around spooky season. So get ready, kids.
She ends every October episode ends with that. Take it away.
I can't help that I'm part ghost. Bye.
One more.
Boo. Okay, cut me off. Okay, cut me off. She's cut off.